Okay, we're not officially tied into the Parsha at this point, but I thought I would look to the Parsha a little bit for inspiration, and I ended up moving to a different Parsha for inspiration. That I thought briefly about talking about Nila, which actually ties into Masechet Kedushin a little bit more, and God willing, we probably will talk about it someday. But in the context of that thought process, I was thinking of another topic which is very connected to Nila, and maybe by its nature we should put before it, and that is the reason Makdimim L'mitzvos, which is actually rooted in a parasha coming up, but again, we're not so tied to the parasha anyway. So just to discuss a little bit about this concept, and I first have to mention it by way of caveat, that there are a number of different concepts that the Gemara invokes, different phrases that the Gemara asserts, to make the point that you should try to do mitzvahs speedily, quickly, at the earliest opportunity. And the reason Makdim L'mitzvahs is only one of them. We also have, for example, Ein Mavir in Al HaMitzvahs, Ein Machmitz in Es HaMitzvahs, Shihuye Mitzvahs Lo Meshahinan, and Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, just to name four other such phrases, which all seem to be hitting at this point. So I should emphasize that they're not all the same necessarily, and sometimes some of the things we're going to say may apply to one and not the other. So I'm going to focus tonight on the topic of reason, like the mitzvahs, mostly to the exclusion of those other phrases. Again, the other phrases may have different parameters, and we may or may not, in some future date, look at some of those separately. Ema Viral Mitzvahs, for example, is most likely a different concept with some overlapping territory. So, again, just to emphasize as far as tonight's conversation is concerned, so there may be things which we'll discuss a parameter applied to the reason, it may not necessarily be the same as far as the other concepts are concerned. It may yes, it may not. And it also gets confused by the fact that when some of the later Sfarim invoke some of these phrases, they do get sometimes used somewhat interchangeably. So, again, there is some confusion to be had about this topic, but for the most part, to the extent possible, we're going to try to concentrate on the idea of Zerizim Makdim L'mitzvahs. So in any case, this idea of Zerizim Makdim L'mitzvahs is derived from the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Pesachim. It's almost Daf Yomi, a few months, and Daf Dalid, where the Gemara derives from a pasuk in the context of the Akedah. Now we're told that Avraham Avinu got up early in the morning in order to go perform this activity. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, and says the Gemara, Mikan Shizrizim Makdim L'mitzvahs. You see from there that it is recommended that one do mitzvah speedily, with alacrity, with enthusiasm, and with haste. There is some discussion as to whether this is a din deraisa or a din derabanan. The latest Sfarim point out that there is a discussion concerning the Mishnah on Masechet Megillah and Daf Chaf. The Mishnah lists off certain mitzvahs that are done at night and certain mitzvahs that are done during the daytime. And in that context, the Mishnah has a phrase that Kol Hayom Kasher lo this, Kol Halayla Kasher lo that. So Rashi over there states concerning that phrase, and when the Mishnah tells us that all night is kasher for these mitzvahs that take place in the night, or all day is kasher for these mitzvahs that take place during the daytime, it says Rashi, even though you don't have the reason makim on the mitzvahs, if you wait till later, still, it's still kasher. And the Turi Evan says, I don't understand the Havamina. What are you trying to tell me? That because you lose out on the reason, I would have thought the mitzvah's gone? Very hard to understand. Okay, so you don't lose reason, but the mitzvah is independent. So, later Sfarim suggests that this is reflective of a machlokas between them as to whether his reason is deraisa or derabanan. The Rashi apparently believes it's a din min haTorah, and therefore there would have been room to say that maybe lacking his reason, the mitzvah itself might be in question. While Turi Evan apparently is assuming, as he indicates elsewhere, that his reason is a din midrabanan, and therefore the very idea that it would affect the Kiyam HaMitzvah is a little harder to swallow. So one could be Chaykir in general. For what purpose do we have the Din of Reason? So on the one hand, it could come from pragmatic concerns. It could come from the concern that if you don't hurry up and take the opportunity, You may lose the mitzvah, whatever mitzvah it is, you may not have the opportunity to get to it, for whatever reason. So perhaps we're motivated by that, we're motivated by this pragmatic need to get to the mitzvah as soon as possible. Alternatively, it could be that it's not about that, but it's about a hiddur in the mitzvah. That in general, hiddur mitzvah specifically, and all the other types of hiddurim that fall under that rubric, are reflective of an idea that we want to try to show enthusiasm for mitzvahs. We want to show that we take mitzvahs seriously. And there are a number of concepts that we have in the Gemara that all seem to be circling around that idea. For example, one of the major topics we learned about in the first Taka Parak edition that she was learning this year, mitzvah bo yoysim b'shulcho, or the idea of hidden mitzvah itself, or the idea of enos and mitzvahs chavilus chavilus, you shouldn't try to kill two birds with one stone. We have a number of different concepts that all seem to be hitting home the point that we want to show enthusiasm for mitzvahs. And it could be that the reason is the same type of idea. The Noda Behuda seems to make that point in a tshuva that he has. This is in Tinyana in Yeriday in Siman Kufna Mechubav. So he gets very upset about a practice that apparently was in vogue in Prague, that there were people who had a situation where they couldn't do a bris on time. It was a bris shalob bezmana. So they figured, okay, once it's already shalob bezmana, so let's have it Erev Pesach. That way we won't have to fast. So a baby's born on Shavuos, and they say, let's have a bris on Erev Pesach. That way we can get out of Tainis Bukharim. So that, the Noda Behuda was not surprisingly very upset about. And in the context of his tshuva, he says that, first of all, you have to worry that maybe you'll, chas v'shalom, lose the mitzvah. And besides that, there's an issue of reason. So he seems to clearly list them as two separate concerns, the pragmatic concern and the issue of reason. And it seems that the reason there in his understanding is more the hiddur mode rather than the pragmatic concern. And of course, just as we could say in every sentence here, it could be that even if we take one stance in reason, that the other concepts, say mazirin or shiliyei mitzvahs or all that, may reflect a different idea. So just to begin with, there is an interesting comment to the Shavuos Yaakov. This is something that the Pesukei Tshuva quotes in Yeridei and Reish Samach Beis, that we have a practice, which there are many different explanations in Achronim why this practice developed. But we know that when we have a bris on any day of the year, so the bris takes place usually in the morning because of the reason Makim of the Mitzvahs. And usually, so you have Shacharis, and then you have the bris right after. And if it's a day when there's Musaf, so you have Shacharis and Musaf, and then you have the bris right after Musaf. So a glaring exception to this is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we don't wait for the end of davening, and we have it right by Tkiyas Shofar. That's the practice. So there are a number of explanations in Achronim for this minig, why it is. Maybe it's based on Kabbalah. Maybe it's based on the symbolism of the bris of Avram coming right before the Shofar, which symbolizes the Kedis Yitzchak. Whatever it is, a lot of theories, but the Shavuos Yaakov has a different theory. And he says, the reason that we have a different policy on Rosh Hashanah than we have the whole rest of the year is because the whole rest of the year, so if you do it after Musaf, you still have some access to the concept of Zrizim Makdim in the Mitzvah. But on Rosh Hashanah, so davening, and I think we alluded to this a few weeks ago, davening tends to schlep on beyond Chatzos. And after Chatzos, you're going to lose Zrizim Makdim in the Mitzvah. An interesting idea, which you find a little bit in some earlier sources, but it's still somewhat mechudish, that there is this dividing line in the day when all of a sudden the reason is gone. So, and then you find it also with Svasemis, a similar comment concerning a Mishnah in Sukkah, where the Mishnah says that somebody who comes home on a day during Sukkot and realized that he hadn't taken a lulav yet, so seems like he only has to interrupt his meal at the beginning of the day, if it's lunchtime in the afternoon, so then he doesn't have to interrupt his meal, he can take a lulav afterwards. So this Fasadness explains that the idea of the reason there is only applicable again during, before Chatzos. So what does this idea mean? Why should we have this concept that you only have Zrizim before Chatzos? So as a pragmatic concern, it's hard to understand. It seems you would say, take the first opportunity, whatever it is, and we wouldn't have any dividing points where all of a sudden things change. But perhaps as a hider, we could understand it. That when you take a line of Chatzos, so basically you've divided the day up into the early day and the late day, and therefore, maybe objectively, anything that happens before Chatzos is called the early day. And anything that happens after Chatzos is called the late day. So therefore, however early you're able to do it, but if you have it before this cutoff point, so then it has an inherent status of early, of Muktam. And after that, it loses that status. And that, again, only makes sense if you look at it as some type of a hiddur. Now, there is a question Achronim discuss when they talk about Zrizin. And that has to do with the general lumdus of Zrizin, its relationship to the mitzvah itself. Does it become a part of the essence of the mitzvah? That the mitzvah should be performed in Zrizin? Or we say, no, the mitzvah is independent without it. And Zrizus is an external component to the mitzvah. So there are a number of indications in both directions. Perhaps more indications, though, that it actually is part of the mitzvah itself. And to begin with, there's a comment Tosfos has in the beginning of Maseches Megillah, on Daf Gimel. There the Mishnah has a phrase that everyone tries to figure out. The Mishnah has a phrase there that Mevatlin Avoda Mishum Mikra Megillah. Mishnah lists off different things where Mikra Megillah takes priority, and among the list is the Avoda, that Mikra Megillah can lead us to being Mevatel, the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rishonim have a whole fight about what that means, because what does it mean to be Mevatel, the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? We're trying to say that you're only going to have time for one, and you'll choose to do the mitzvah, the Rabbanan of Megillah, instead of the Avoda Beis HaMikdash, which is the Raisa. So some Rishonim say yes, and that's a topic for a different discussion, how you come to such a conclusion. But other Rishonim say, no, it's not shayach that you would do that, because Avodah is Daraisa. So rather, we're talking about doing the Mikra Megillah before the Avodah. That's how we interpret the Mishnah. It's just a question of which one you do first. But if that's the case, so then the phrase Mevatlin is a very strong phrase. Mevatlin, we nullify the mitzvah. And you're telling me it just means we do it second. That's called Bittul. So says Taisus, yeah, it's called bittul, because normally you would do it first thing in the day. That would be his reason not doing the mitzvah. And now you're pushing that off, that's called bittul. So you see from this Taisus that apparently, when you don't have this reason, you're missing something inherent to the mitzvah itself. There is a similar idea in Taisus and Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph. It needs a little explanation what the premises of Taisus are. There, Tosfos is talking about the position of Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshire Mila can also be built for Shabbos if it's necessary. So there, the context is that, let's say you have a bris on Shabbos, and you didn't bring the knife into the place where the baby is. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you can bring the knife to the baby even on Shabbos. So asks Tosfos, why is that necessary? Why do we have to bring the knife to the baby? Why don't we just bring the baby to the knife? Now, why is that any better than bring the baby to the knife than the knife to the baby? So Tosfos here is working off a premise that we don't paskin like. So this could be a little confusing because it doesn't really stem with our view. But Tosfos is working off the assumption here that it's less problematic to carry a baby than it is to carry a knife, because with the concept of chai nosei asatzmo, you carry a living person, it's not really called carrying. It's as if the person is somehow involved in their own being carried. The problem is, the reason why it's not really relevant to us is because we normally assume that chai nosei asatzmo applies only when the individual is capable of walking on their own. If you take somebody who could walk, but you choose to carry them, so then that's not called min haTorah carrying. But if you have an 8-day-old baby who's not capable of walking, in any sense of the word, so then we assume halacha that's not called chai nosei asatzmo. So that's why Tosfos is kind of working in a different universe than us. But assuming that it makes a difference, the Tosfos says, why don't we bring the baby to the knife instead of the knife to the baby? We would have to compromise less on the Shabbos issue. So says Tosfos, because it's quicker to bring the knife to the baby than the baby to the knife. So apparently, what do you see there? You see that it's worth compromising Shabbos more in order to get the Zrizus again. That the Zrizus kind of grafts itself onto the mitzvah itself, and therefore we'd rather do that more quickly than lose the Zrizus even at the protection of Shabbos. Now, Dvar Avram has a famous tshuva where he doesn't take Zrizus as seriously. But this Dvar Avram was very, very, very controversial. Dvar Avram has this psach in his tshuvas in Chiluk Aleph and Tum Lamed Gimel, and all the achronim of his time went nuts about this. Zeche Yitzchak has a tshuva about this, a little panavizha. And the Marcheshes has a tshuva against this. And if you look in Chiluk Beis, in the Dvar Avram, see, it's like letters to the editor, the first 5-6 simanim and the second Chiluk Beis, he's responding to his critics on this psak. So which psak is it that was so earth-shattering? So Dvar Avram discusses the case of somebody you have two babies to give a bris to. One baby is 8 days old, it's the 8th day, and the other one is older than that, it's Milo Shalob Zman. So what bris comes first? So everyone else assumes that the 8-day baby comes first. That's the bismano. That the mitzvah whose man it is takes priority. But Dvar Avram says no. Dvar Avram says the bigger priority on the mila shaloi bismana than on the mila bismana. Why is that? Because the mila shaloi bismana is a problem. As Machlokas Rishonim had to understand the idea of kares in reference to mila. We know that the Torah says that somebody who is mevakel mitzvah mila is chayav kares, but it's a little hard to pin down, because if you do an avera, you chayav kares. You know, when you commit the avera, so that's the kares. But if you are mevakel a mitzvah, so when does kares kick in? So that's the machlokas we've shown them, with the Rambam and the Ravid and the Tosfos. So it could be that it's only when one dies in the state of RL, that that's when kares kicks in. Or it could be that every minute, every hour that you're alive beyond the time when you knew this should have happened, so there's a chiyuv kares for every hour. So if that's the case, says the Dvar Avram, so you see there's a much greater tchak on the mila shelo bezmana than the mila bezmana. The mila bezmana, the whole day is kasher. It's just reason makdim le mitzvah, so we'll tell you to do it earlier. But the mila shelo bezmana, that every minute the clock is ticking, you're getting in more trouble. So for that reason, he said the mila shelo bezmana comes first, and again, everyone disagreed with him about this, a huge fight. But in the context of this conversation, he doesn't take the reason so seriously. Is that the reason is a side point, and that's no reason to weigh the mila bezmana more heavily. While we're on the topic of bris, yeah?
Why is using the satellite part of the mila bezmana more?
It doesn't, but the point is that on the one hand, mila shelo bezmana has this onish ticking clock.
Right.
And the mila bezmana, he basically says, the whole day is equal. You know, the fact
why
that,
is he putting in the reason?
Because he says, why you can do the mila bezmana all day, there's no difference between doing it at 8 o'clock in the morning and doing it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Because we assume there is a difference between doing it at 8 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And in the morning we have this aspect of Zrizus, and in the afternoon
we don't. Why would we assume we have more of our day bezmana?
We don't, but he's saying that he's weighing the two, and he's saying that the 8-day-old baby is basically all equal the whole day for him. There's no issue. When he's weighing the factors, right? You can say there's reason on the other side also, except that the bris of the bezmana has the idea of bezmana as reason. So that maybe would make it stronger. You're saying it would mean that you should do it earlier. You should do it first.
Not in any
related
reason,
but
because of bezmana.
But also, right? That's also true. That you could even argue that that's even the motivating factor. You're saying, right? So that. Even without that, he interprets it as just being a function of Zrizus. He basically says the mitzvah itself, there's nothing in it that makes you need to do it earlier in the day. That's basically his point. Okay, while we're on the topic of Mila, so to not address the really major controversy of the day, the idea of Mitzitza B'Peh, but I'm going to skip to the Peh part and just talk about Mitzitza. Mitzitza, the Gemara does talk about, the whole fight about it is whether it has to be fair or not, that we're not going to get into. But just to talk about Mitzitza for a second, so the Gemara says that Mitzitza, this is relevant to the story, this is one of the riyas that Mitzitza is in itself important, is that the Gemara talks about doing Mitzitza on Shabbos, and that Mitzitza is considered to be something that is a chilul Shabbos. It's an act of chavala. It involves drawing blood. And yet, it's so important that it's part of Dolcha Shabbos. That's why some say, you see, it's part of Mila, whatever, that's the whole story. But many Achronim ask, the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about this, and the Chassam Sefer has a comment about this in Shabbos, and the son of Chassam Sefer has a tshuva about this also, but we're going to focus on the Chassam Sofer statement. Why don't we just, if you have a bris on Shabbos, so why don't we do it like this? Why don't we schedule the bris for the late afternoon? So the bris will be done on the eighth day. And the mitzitza, that won't happen until after Shabbos. So why do we have to violate Shabbos yet again? Let's wait until after Shabbos for the mitzitza, have the bris scheduled so that it's immediately before the end of Shabbos. So the bris will be on Shabbos, and the mitzitza will be after Shabbos. It says, Chassam Sofer, that because... Right, so then you could say a different lambda. If you want to say a really fancy lambda, you say that the mitzitza is so much part of the mila that it has to be on the eighth day also. So I don't know if that's the way people will generally assume, but you could come to that. But the answer that the Chassam Sofer gives is the reason we don't want to do this is because of this reason, makdim lemitzvah, that we don't want to push off the bris until the afternoon for that reason. So again, here you see that because of this reason, we're willing to put ourselves again in a position of chilul Shabbos. So this is yet another indication that Zrizus is probably something more central. And I think all of this maybe tilts us towards the more hidder component of Zrizus, that Zrizus is something that has to do with how we do the mitzvah itself, and it's not an external detail that represents a concern that we have. So the Chassam Sofer has another comment, which I think also is consistent with this, and this is in his Shuvas. In his Shuvas in Siman Reish Ches, he has an idea that we do not say Zrizin Makdimim LeMitzvahs, and here again, one more time, this may not be true for Emavir and all mitzvahs, or for other things, but for Zrizin Makdimim LeMitzvahs, we do not apply that to the question of when to schedule a mitzvah. That if we have an option to put a mitzvah in this time or in that time, so we don't say that Zrizin means we have to put it at the earlier time. The context in which he was explaining this was the context of Purim. He's explaining why it is that in a Shana Mubaris, why is Purim observed in the second Adar? Why don't we say the reason we should put it in the first Adar? So it says the establishment of a mitzvah is not influenced by his reason. Once you know when a mitzvah is, so that means you need to do it as quickly as possible within that time slot. That's reason like the end of a mitzvah. But to set it up at an earlier time, that's not necessary under his reason. And the Chazanish has a similar comment in which he says that Zrizus only applies to a mitzvah that has a time. If a mitzvah can be done at any time, so then Zrizus again doesn't apply. So I think also this takes us away from the pragmatic view and puts us more in the hidder idea that once the mitzvah is in place, so to speak, so then there is an need to do it as quickly as possible. But to bring it into play any earlier, that's not necessarily relevant, and that's not necessarily something that Zrizus makes us do. The Trumas Hadashin has a comment in his Chuvas in which he states that if it's only a slight delay, it's only a matter of waiting a little bit, so then we allow you to delay things because we don't have to worry that Mizman Mu'at in a short period of time that the mitzvah is going to get lost. So many Acharonim dealt with this and they argue with this among them, the Chuvas to Yehoshua and the Chuvas of Isaac Gershuni and the Chuvas to Machtzedek. They all disagreed with this. And they said, no, it's not true. That right away we always say he's reason. So it seems like the Trumas Hadashin is motivated by this idea of losing the mitzvah. Well, excuse me, the Achronim say that's not what it's about. It's about doing the mitzvah behedder, and that means doing it quickly. This gets us to a major topic that the Achronim argued on. And here again, we have a comment to the Shvos Yaakov, and many other Achronim discussed this. Some Sofer has a discussion about this, and Mikvi Chemda, many others as well. What do you do if you have to decide between the Maila of Zrizim Akdim and the Mitzvahs, and the Maila of some other Hidr Mitzvah? So Shvos Yaakov, for one, says that if you don't, let's say the situation is, and again, that you could do a Mitzvah right now, and fulfill Zrizim, but it will be less than ideal. And if you wait till later, you'll have circumstances that will be ideal. So should you wait for the mitzvah menamuvcha, or the hidden mitzvah of later, or should you do it now and get zrizim? Yaakov says that if you're not really sure what's going to happen in the future, so then ain't suffik mitzvah de'vada, you should do the mitzvah now. But if you really have reasonable assurance that the situation is going to get better, so then better to wait. And l'chara, this issue also depends on our above point, that if the issue is a hiddur within the mitzvah, so then you can make the case, there's no point in doing that hiddur before the mitzvah is really set to go. That if the mitzvah will be ideal at a later time, so then it's most mahudr to wait till circumstances are perfect, and then within that time, get to it quickly. But to sacrifice on the perfection of the mitzvah, to do it earlier, would seem to be counterproductive to the goal of hiddur. But if hiddur is, if the reason is motivated by the idea that we're really worried about losing the mitzvah, so then you can make a case that, no, you should do it faster, because better to chop the mitzvah and not lose it, than to risk losing it and wait till things are perfect. This is somewhat akin to a topic which probably is an Ein Ma'avir No Mitzvah topic. We'll just mention it because it's similar. That there is a often quoted yeshuva, the Radbaz. Radbaz discusses somebody who's in jail and who has an arrangement that he can get off for one day. They tell him you can take off one day in the next year. So presumably he's not really able to fulfill too many mitzvahs while he's in jail. And now he has a chance to pick one day of mitzvah, so what's he going to do? So should he take the first day, even though it's a normal, say, Tuesday, nothing too exciting going on? Or maybe say, no, I'll wait for the big one, I'll wait for Yom Kippur, and that way I'll be able to do a lot. So here the Radbaz says you have to take the first opportunity, again, probably because they mazirin more than because of his reason. And the Chacham Tzvi argues on this. It's in the Kufav, and also the Akavendin, and his Chuvas. There's a discussion about this in the Chai Adam. So again, this is really probably more a Mavirin issue than a reason issue, but it's a little bit similar. So I just wanted to mention it here. It's also related to a Suffolk Neishal Avram, the B'chatcherav, who talks about a situation where somebody knows medically that they're able to fast, but they're only able to fast one day in a week. They can't fast 2 days in a week's separation. So therefore, they can't fast both Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur. They have to choose one. So do they say, well, Yom Kippur is the biggie, so I'll wait for then? Or do you say, no, first you have Tzom Gedalia, so you have to take that, you have to do what comes first, and then you won't be able to fast Yom Kippur. So that's a question that is parallel to this issue. In any case, I mentioned another point. The Marshal has a tshuva in which he talks about a situation if somebody's an onay. Nachman is in a very sad situation. Somebody's an onay and also has to give his son a bris at the same time. So he has a chakira there. What should come first? So one would think that this is also tally on this issue, because if his reason is about the hiddur, so the onay is not really chayiv in mitzvahs. So to say that he should be looking for a hiddur mitzvah, it seems to be difficult. So it seems like the only motivation from the rush into the milah is because there's an aspect that we're afraid the mitzvah is going to get lost. So therefore, that would motivate him to go earlier. But to say that he has to look for his reason, that's a little more difficult to understand. So just to mention one final point that builds on to the earlier points, one final knage. So there is a question in Klal Yisrael that I have to try to explain. It has to do with Pidgin HaBen. So we know that when we have a bris, so the bris usually takes place hideously early in the morning because of this idea of zrizin. But when it comes to a pidgin haben, so pidgin habens often take place in the afternoon. Now part of the reason is because they have to make sure the time is up, so that's part of it. But even above and beyond that, then there's no big rush. You see people doing pidgin habens in the afternoon, you don't see them rushing to do them at the earliest possible opportunity. This Dechemet said, this is all wrong. He has an essay about this in his Sefer. So this is all wrong, that we should be more makbid about this. We should do Pidgin HaBens early, the same way we do Brisson early. So I once, it happened to be, by the way, just parenthetically, that even Brisson, I'll talk about that in a second. But so I asked Rabbi Shechter about this once many years ago. And he told me an answer that I didn't totally understand. Really had to add a little bit more to it. That the reason, he said, we don't wait, the reason we wait with the pigeon aben is because of the issue of Rovam Hadras Melech, that we want there to be a crowd, and we're worried that people won't come in the morning, so therefore we let it happen later in the day. So of course the issue is, so why don't we say the same thing by a bris? How come a bris we do early in the morning, and the pigeon aben we do later? So parenthetically, you should point out that really the bris we do compromise a little bit. And Rav Moshe Sternbach has the truth about this, because if we were really makbid on Zrizin perfectly, we'd vamish do it first thing in the morning. Now we wouldn't let it be 7 o'clock or after Shachar. We would vamish do it first thing in the morning. So the fact that we don't do it at literally the crack of dawn, so that already shows us that we're willing to do a little bit for Barovam Hadras Melech. Right, so apparently when it comes to Pigeon Aben, there clearly is a difference. Pigeon Aben, Barovam really is guiding the ship here. And when it comes to a bris, so Zrizin is really guiding things. So you have to fill in that difference. So why is it like that? Well, you could perhaps say like this. There is a tshuva of Nassim Gestetner, and it's tshuva Slaharis Nassim, where he discusses the following case. That if you have a situation where you have to do both, somehow you have a scenario where you have to do both a bris and a pigeon aben, so what should come first? So he writes the bris should come first, because the bris is a much bigger risk, because the bris has a mitzvah of the eighth day. And if it gets dark and you miss the eighth day, so then after this point on, it's a milah shelo bezman, and you're missing this component of the mitzvah, you're missing the eighth day. Well, when it comes to the pigeon aben, you don't have a risk like that, because the Torah doesn't really say on what day the pigeon aben has to be. It says, mi ben chodesh tipadeh, from the time of a month on, that's when the pigeon aben should be after that. So we do it earlier, because we do it early within that framework. We don't say, let's do it when the baby's a year and a half old. We do it very soon after that because there's a reason like the mitzvahs. But we don't, it's not like there's a day that's at the risk that if you miss this day, you miss something significant. So Mila, for that reason, is more chamer. So if you take that idea, so you see there's a difference between bris and Mila as far as how much we're worried about losing the mitzvah. When it comes to the bris, we have more significant concern. Right, if you're going to schedule a bris for 10 minutes before Shkia, and then the mole gets stuck in traffic, so then you lost something major. While Pigeon Aben, we don't have such a risk. If you do it later, so then you're not really missing anything in the mitzvah. It's just a little bit later on in the process. So therefore, the reason, the motivating factor of Zrizus for a bris is dictated very much by the concern of losing the mitzvah. While a pigeon aben, that's less of a concern, as long as the baby, God willing, should remain healthy. But there's the issue of reason for a hiddur. A hiddur, we don't want to let it, we don't want to do it when he's 2.5. We want to do it, show that we're enthusiastic about it. We want to do it earlier opportunity. So we discussed a few minutes ago the shaila of how do you deal with the clash between reason and other hiddurim. And how did we say it was totally? We said that if Zrizus is a hiddur itself, so then it makes sense to wait for the hiddur circumstances and then do it quickly within that. While if Zrizus is pragmatic, it's to make sure you don't lose the mitzvah, so then we say better to do it quickly even if it's imperfect rather than risk losing the mitzvah. So then it works out well, because a bris, we're worried about losing the mitzvah, so therefore that's our motivating factor for Zrizus, and if that's the case, we said that Zrizus wins over other hiddurim. Well, when it comes to Pigeon Aben, we're motivated more by the hiddur component of Zrizus. And hiddur, we said, only kicks in when all the other hiddurim are in place. So therefore, the Barovam, we'll wait for that first, and then we'll do Zrizus within the Barovam zone, whatever we determine that to be. So perhaps that could explain the difference in the Minhag Klal Yisrael, that when it comes to a bris, boom, here you see early in the day. When it comes to Pigeon Aben, less of a capade on that than letting Barovam Hadras Melech be more of a dominant factor. Okay, so just to quickly review what we spoke about. We spoke about the din of the Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. We emphasized that there are many other concepts in Shas that are also related, but are possibly different than we're now focusing on them. Eim Avirin, Eim Machmitzin, Shuhiya Mitzvahs LeMashahina, Chemitzvahshayit, all that. We didn't focus on. Focus on Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs, which the Gemara learns in Pesachim Daf Dalet from the Ashkim of Yom Babokir. We saw the machlokes between Rashi and the Turi Evin, perhaps whether it's Dreis or Drabanan, as reflected in Rashi's comment to the Mishnah Megillah, that it's kosher, the mitzvahs are kosher during the day, are kosher all day, even though there's no zrizus. And Terry Evans says, well, why would I even think that? Clearly, zrizus is something separate from the mitzvah. So as Tzvarim explained, this is machlokas based on whether Rashi, well, based on the question of whether or not zrizus is a din min haTorah or din min drabanan. And then we were chaker in general, what is the purpose of zrizus? Is it there so the mitzvah shouldn't get lost, a pragmatic concern, or is it there to show enthusiasm for the mitzvah, type of hiddur? I mentioned the Behudas Shuvah, where he screams about people waiting for Erev Pesach with their bris milin shlobas mana, and he says there it's terrible, you might lose the mitzvah, and also you'll lose that in the reason. He clearly sees it as two separate concerns. And we suggest that it's also related to the question of whether zrizus becomes part of the mitzvah or is it something separate. We saw the Tosfos in Megillah, and Rav Kimmel says that losing the zrizus of the Avodah Beis HaMikdash is called bitul avoda, and we saw that Tosfos in Shabbos says that we would rather bring the knife to the baby than bring the baby to the knife on Shabbos, even though it means compromising Shabbos more, so as to get the zrizus. And they mentioned the Dvar Avraham in his controversial tshuva, where he doesn't take zrizus so seriously, and he says that therefore milah b'zmana, the whole day is equal, and therefore it should lose out to milah shelo b'zmana, and everyone else at his time disagreed with him. And then we talked about the question of mitzitza. Not the question of mitzitza v'peh, but mitzitza itself, that the Gemara says that we should do that even on Shabbos, even though it's a malacha. And the Achronim ask, why don't we just have the bris late in the day, so mitzitza could be after Shabbos? And apparently, again, zrizus is a factor there that stops us from doing that. And then we talked about the Chassam Sofer's tshuva and others, that we don't say zrizus for when we're kovei a mitzvah, we only say it within a mitzvah that's already kavua. And the Chazon Ish adding that he only say it a mitzvah that has a tefias time and not a mitzvah that floats. And that also seems to indicate that it's more of a hiddur rather than a function of getting to it quickly so it doesn't get lost. And they mentioned the Shemus HaDeshin, that we don't worry about a small delay, Zman Muat is not a problem, and many Achronim disagreed with him. Again, that seems to be the same issue. And then I talked about the general question of Zrizos versus other Hidurim, the Shvus Yankov, and the Klichan, and the Sofer. And I said that if it's pragmatic, it would seem that Zrizos would dominate no matter what, but if the issue is Hidur, then Zrizos would lose out to other Hidurim in the sense of letting the other Hidurim be obtained first, and then Zrizos within that. And we paralleled that a little bit to the question of the Rabbaz and the Chacham Tzvi. Person who has an opportunity to get a gel for one day should take the first opportunity to get the best opportunity. And I talked about the question of Tom Gedalia versus Yom Kippur if you could only pick one. And then we talked about the Maharshal's tshuva about somebody who has to both bury a relative, Rechman al-Tzlan, and make a bris. And what comes first? And I mentioned there that it would seem that his rizus shouldn't really apply if it's about mitzvahs then because he's not chayiv in mitzvahs, so therefore it's more the other concern that would seem to be relevant. Then we just talked about the minig Klal Yisrael to have a pidgin event later in the day rather than earlier in the day like a bris, and have a stechem and know this thought this was terrible and this should be cancelled. And have Rav Shechter explain that the reason we have the pidgin event later in the day is because of Berobam Hajus Melech. So we still had to explain, but why is that more of a factor by a pidgin event than it is by a bris? And I mentioned that by bris also it's an issue, otherwise we'd have the bris even earlier than we do, but we're compromised a little bit for Berobam Hajus Melech. So we mentioned that we have nothing to shtat in this tshuva, when he said that if you have a bris and a pidgin event to do both of them, so you give priority to the bris because you might lose the mitzvah the eighth day, while pidgin event is a different concern. It's any time from 30 days on, it's all the same, and it's only zrizus that makes you do it earlier. So therefore, by pidgin event, zrizus is more motivated by hiddur, while by bris, it's more motivated by losing out on the mitzvah. And so therefore, if losing out on the mitzvah is our concern, so we said zrizus beats other hiddurim, and if it's a hiddur, then we said either hiddurim beats zrizus. And so therefore, when it comes to bris, reason is really the dominant factor. When it comes to pidgin aben, so the Barovim Hajus Melech can dominate over Zrizus. Okay, so we will end there. We left some other topics to get to, so now we'll get to bris as a topic in itself, and then we'll get some other day to Emah V'Yom HaMitzvah. So we'll have to, in future days, Be'ez Hashem, get to these topics.